Hello everybody, it's George from Ireland, so welcome back to my channel once again, and commenting on the death of Shane McGowan, who just a few days ago was summoned to his reward, the great big concert hall in the sky. So on the 30th of November this year that he died, and so he's best known for having been the front man of the Pogues, and Fairy Tale of New York, his most famous song, and came out Christmas 1987, if memory serves. I recall listening to it Christmas Day 1997 in Cork. A very notable Christmas in my life for various reasons that I shan't divulge. I listened to it countless times, of course, since he died. And his co-star, she died in Kirsten McColl in an accident in Mexico not so long after 97. She was swimming in the sea in a motorboat. I just hit her. But anyway, so McGowan, as in son of a cow. So he's born in Kent to Irish parents, but he returned to Tipperary. That's the county in Munster, so you know, neighbouring Cork, and he lived there for a few years, and then they returned to England. So his mum was a typist. His dad, he had some sort of mid-management position in CNA, you know, that clothing shop. So he mostly lived in southern England, Brighton, London, and various areas in and around London. So he was very well-read, known for his intellectual precocity. Went to a notable prep school. Presumably got a scholarship to that because his parents won't have had much money. And then he went to Westminster, which is one of the most estimable schools in the British Isles. One of the Clarendon Nine, as in Lord Clarendon produced a report in the 1860s into the most celebrated schools in the United Kingdom. But there he got a scholarship partly for his literary prowess. So he was a real verbumane. However, he unfortunately started to dabble in narcotics, and he was kicked out in his second year. So he's only 15 or so. And he went into a downward spiral, abusing substances. And by the age of 17, he ended up in a psychiatric hospital, and he couldn't beat his dependency. So it seemed that he had acute situational anxiety. I don't know if that was caused or perhaps simply exacerbated by abusing narcotics. So he'd been someone who was destined for Oxford or Cambridge. He ended up going to St. Martin's School of Art in London. So he's one of those people who bloomed early, but actually declined. You know, the dawn was golden. The afternoon was silver, and the evening was lead, scholastically speaking. However, he still had some magnificent gifts which are yet to come to the fore. He wasn't seen as being especially musical in his childhood, but that was to come to prominence later on. So he hung around in Soho, which is London's red light district, also his gay village, but it was really the centre of alternative culture in the United Kingdom. So he was a teenager in the early 70s, and that's the time that the Troubles were exploding in Ulster. But he seems to have been somewhat attracted to Irish nationalism, not necessarily Irish republicanism. Didn't want to resort to terrorism in order to take Northern Ireland away from where it wanted to be within the United Kingdom. Then he formed a band called the Pogues, maybe Pogue Mahone, which is kiss my arse in Irish, but they ellipted it to Pogues, as in Pogue being the word for kiss. So they were it was a punk style. But anyway, some of the allusions in his lyrics, they draw upon Irish history and the nationalist tradition therein, and Irish people who are scattered all across the globe. So he devoured the works of James Clarence Mangan, an Irish poet of the Victorian era who deserves to be better known, a rather nationalist type, and Brendan Behan, whose lifetime had overlapped with that of Shane McGowan. I mean, I was also fascinated by Brendan Behan, who was a very entertaining but rather lightweight, lowbrow writer. And I want to go and find his grave in Glasnevin Cemetery because I've seen footage of Brendan Behan's funeral. He died at the age of 41. He drank with shame in Slattery's in Chapel Street, Strapple Street, Soho. Is Slattery still going under that name? He came from quite a privileged back, working class hero. Well, I mean, I don't think he was working class. Although he was middle class, he wasn't that prosperous. Maybe lower middle class rather than upper middle class. Middle class is quite broad. I mean, judges right at the top, or some very wealthy business people, right down to, I don't know, police officers at the bottom, small-time civil servants, accounts clerks, something like that. So they were not especially affluent. They certainly been as wealthy as most of the boys who went to Westminster School. They were day pupils and their boarders, He thinks he was a boarder. So their most applauded album was If I Should Fall From Grace With God, which was released in 1988. So there was much acclamation for this album. And really, that was their zenith. So Fairy Tale of New York, he began to pen that in 1985, perfected 1987. As I say, he co-starred with the late Kirsty MacColl. He sang Dirty Old Town, The Irish Rover, and there was a magnificent rendition of that on the Late Late Show with the Dubliners. So the Dubliners, who I think are all dead now, because the Late Late Show really was launched in about 1963, as soon as RTE was founded, Radio Television Era, and that was the main public broadcaster in the Republic of Ireland, hosted by the late Gay Byrne. And my goodness, who was the other bloke who took over after him? Kenny Live, what was then called Kenny, whatever his name was. Ryan Tubridy, is he still doing it? But anyway, because we only had one channel in Southern Ireland for a long time. Capel Street, now I know what you're talking about. Capel Street, okay, which is just, you know, perpendicular to the Liffey, just north of the river. Okay, I'm going on towards Parnell Street. I know what you're talking about. That really was the show that was Ireland. To whom may concern the Late Late Show, it wasn't that late. And anyone who was everyone in Ireland from abroad was on it. And they broached some contentious issues, which just were not to be discussed at that time. They had live performances, interviews with all sorts of superstars and politicians from all around the globe. It was also broadcast in Great Britain because it was so famous. But anyway, he spoke up for causes that he believed in, about the Birmingham Six, about six Irishmen who were wrongfully convicted, as it transpired, of planting a bomb in Birmingham, which had murdered like about 16 people. And they were eventually set free because their convictions were found to be unsafe. So he toured the world to the United States. He even had a following in Japan. And then the Pogues split up and we joined the Popes. And eventually returned to the Pogues and so on. So he had about the worst ever oral hygiene. And though he was a fantastic singer with magnificent stage presence, really, he seemed like a blithering idiot when he was interviewed. Both his tone of voice and so on and the content of what he said, rather enigmatic, often wouldn't show up for interviews, be hours late. So he was certainly very addled. So he was the troubled artist. He definitely had that temperament. And he did do some charity work as well, donating things to charity. So he had a relationship with a woman for years, and who was married to somebody else. I don't think he ever had any children. Yeah, he had been intensely religious as an adolescent, but he did become a priest at the end, being a Catholic, attracted to Buddhism towards the end of his life. So that is Shane McGowan. So thank you so much for watching my channel. Shane McGowan, he won't, the like of him, which will never be seen again. So make sure you subscribe to my channel on Patreon and donate on PayPal, georgecallahan79@gmail.com. Goodbye, everybody.